to The Sound of Economics. I'm Anya Quinn. We're bringing you this podcast series from Bruegel, the Brussels-based think tank specialised in economics and economic policy. This episode is a special edition from our annual meetings in Brussels. I'm joined by four distinguished guests to discuss the future of Europe. So, Romano Prodi is former Prime Minister of Italy and former President of the European Commission. Sylvie Goulard is a member of the European Parliament. Joachim Bitterlich is a former European diplomatic and security advisor to the German Chancellor Helmut Kohl. And finally, André Sapir is a senior fellow at Bruegel. So, first of all, thank you so much for coming to our annual meetings. And I'm going to start with you, Professor Prodi. So, given where we are now, how do you see the future of Europe?
Well, look, we are in a decisive point. Bratislava cannot be one of the many summits we had in the last point. We are after Brexit. We are still in an economic standby. And so what we have to do is to take a decision. My opinion is clear. In the situation of today, the leading decision can be taken with a German leadership.
So, Nicola?
Well, I fully agree with Romano Prodi. We are at a crossroads. Not only we have lost one member state, but we are about to lose many of our citizens. They don't trust us anymore. And I want to underline the fact that what is at stake is not only the future of the European Union, because we make too often a difference between the European Union on the one hand and the member states on the other hand. It is the future of the Europeans worldwide, their capacity to defend their interests and values in a rapidly changing world. That's the reason why we don't have so much time, and national elections should not be a reason to do nothing.
Do you agree, Joachim Bitterlich?
It's true. Europe is at a crossroads, actually, and it's strange. For the last at least 7 years, this Europe has been working in a modus of crisis management. If a normal company in business is working more than a year in crisis management, the stock markets will be extremely nervous. Therefore, and it's strange, when you look at the agenda and you look at the different subject, what's at stake? It's Europe's self-assertiveness. The survival of Europe in the longer run, in a globalized, in a totally insecure world. And I think when you look at the concrete subjects in Europe, I think there are areas where Europe can act, has to re-establish immediately credibility, example, internal security, external security. There are other areas where the Europeans should sit first together and examine through roadmap for subjects, because there is still too much disagreement among the partners. But we need the agreement to develop further and to assure Europe of its future.
I'm not going to disagree with the three previous speakers that Europe is at a crossroads. I think that's clear to everyone's eyes. And I think it's at the crossroads at many different levels. One is that indeed, not just Europe, but all the industrialized countries, the US, we see that as well, but Japan, we are confronted to a huge transformation of the global economy and global politics. That's why the G7 now doesn't play the role that it used to. We are confronted, and in a sense one should be happy of that, to the rise of large developing emerging countries, India, China, Brazil. That is good, because those were poor countries that are improving their economic well-being, but it's certainly challenging many of the certainties that we had. It's not just anymore a transatlantic world where we and the US, we can arrange around a small table all the affairs of the world. It's a much more complex world. It's a world where there's a huge amount of economic transformation, and it's a world where citizens don't know anymore where they are. And then there is the special issue of Europe. Where exactly is Europe standing to this? Me as a citizen, should I rely on my country, on the institution of my country to help me withstand all those economic and political shocks that the world is going through? Or should I rely on Europe? And is Europe delivering? And I think we are seeing that Europe has not delivered enough compared to what citizens have come to expect of Europe. And I think that is what the crossroads is about. Europe needs to deliver better what citizens are expecting from it.
So we've talked a lot about Europe being at a crossroads and surviving in crisis mode. But how do you think it really needs to change to deliver what citizens need?
It's very simple, you know. It's either we meet the two big problems, growth and migration, or we are lost. Because people ask European rulers to meet these problems. And so it's not easy. There is a divergent mood, but it's clear that we are also increasing the tensions inside the European, the electorate of all European countries. If we don't do that quickly, we shall have a secular change, and so another project will be written on the new paper.
Do you agree that growth and migration are the two biggest problems facing Europe?
Yes, but I would, yes, of course I agree, but I would formulate it a little bit in another way. I think people are seeking for a safer environment. They want to have jobs and perspectives for themselves and their children, and they need some protection against the threats, not only migration, I would say also terrorist attacks and all the threats we are facing now with autocratic powers around Europe. So the idea that we could pool sovereignty to make our environment safer and also to fight against climate change. 1 year ago, everybody was talking about the huge challenge of climate change, and it has a little bit disappeared from the screens. And I think it's a big mistake because it can also be something we sell to the public opinion. Many people don't look at the future in an abstract way, but if we tell them, look, we are trying to improve the future of your children, we are trying to safeguard the planet, we are trying to safeguard jobs in Europe, and to make sure that people who do not share our values, the Islamic terrorists, etc., can be fought, then we might convince them again. The first step is to convince again that Europe can be, for them, a plus.
Do you think Europe can be a plus for these people, Joachim Bitterlich? We've seen the rise of populism and many problems being blamed on Europe. What concrete measures do you think European leaders can take to try and help people see the benefits of Europe?
People want that Europe or the governments or the institutions find solutions for their problems. They are not anymore debating about it, but they find concrete solutions. The biggest enemy of politics is insecurity, or the feeling of people that politicians or politics are no more controlling the situation. And there you have what I call the subjects I mentioned. Police cooperation, external border, immigration, asylum, status of foreigners in our countries. By the way, things that my boss proposed 25 years ago to Europeans, and no one was following at that time. Limping unions, if you want. Same other subject is, for people, is assurance on their working place. What is the fight against unemployment? How to deal with the youth, etc. Concentrated much more than in the past on real, concrete European subject where Europe is an added value. Europe has to some extent let's say, create an air where member states are, can still live with the people too, where Europe is deciding what's really necessary at that level. But Europe can do it. I think they're perfectly able to do it, if they want.
I would say that Europe needs a narrative out of the different issues that have been put forward by the three previous speakers. But I think, as we see, and I very much agree on that, I think a narrative is important. And I'm not sure that we entirely have the cast of leaders who have the capacity to have this narrative that can really animate the citizens. But besides the narrative, I do believe that to have a narrative with no concrete steps to be taken to respond to citizens' concern would be totally useless. I think perhaps we are suffering a little bit in Europe from having had in the past too much narrative without sufficient concrete ability to put meat on where it really matters. So concrete steps in response to what citizens need, but I think this put in the framework of a narrative, and a narrative which is indeed Europe in a changing world. There is a future for Europe. Europe has had a fantastic past. Europe has a future. We have fantastic assets, and that needs to be explained, but we can overcome those challenges that we are facing with a common vision and a common instruments, common capability.
Thank you so much. That brings us to the end of this episode and the end of our first series. We hope you enjoyed it. You can watch videos of all the public events from our annual meetings on our website at www.bruegel.org, including speeches by former European Central Bank President Jean-Claude Trichet and Jeroen Dijsselbloem, President of the Eurogroup. On the Bruegel website, you will also find extensive analysis of European Economic and Monetary Union. Join us next time for The Sound of Economics.